Well, guys, tomorrow is the first day of school. There's only a few moms in the room, obviously. Only a few moms. Guys, tomorrow is the first day of school. That's a big deal. There's a lot of victories going to happen tomorrow morning. My wife and I know it. We'll drop those kids off. She was sad. My son Cademan turned 16 in July, and then he got his driver's license. And so we were, because of the way the market's working with the used car prices and stuff, we haven't bought him a car. He actually has been given some money from grandparents. And you know me, I'm not going to buy him a new car. I'm going to buy him a beater car. You know what I'm talking about. Not that he didn't deserve a better car, but you should have seen his face yesterday when he was like, "Dad, I want to go drive, pick up my friend Henry. We want to go and go to McDonald's, go do a few things." And I said, "Well, here's the minivan." He goes, "Oh, I thought I was going to get your Jeep." Oh, I don't know, man. I gave him the Jeep. Don't worry, all of you out there. I gave him the Jeep to drive yesterday. So I rode my bike everywhere. But, you know, my wife and I, we both were like, "Man, this is a shame. We got to get him a car so he can take all the kids to school, too. It would be the greatest day ever." It's not happening just yet, but it will. Soon, soon, very soon. You know, it is a fun time tomorrow for us because, you know, seeing kids learn and grow and develop their skill set and community. And, you know, one of the things we pray is that our youth, we have a phenomenal youth pastor, Pastor Philip, and he's teaching our kids to be a vessel for the kingdom of God in their school. And that's so wonderful. And I'm so thankful for that encouragement that he gives them and that strength that he shows them about what God can do in their lives. And so, you know, what's really great about this house is that we also, not only do we want to pray for the students in this room today, we also want to pray for our teachers in this room today. It is so important that we do so. So what I'd like for us to do, if the teachers would be so bold to, and you need to understand, you are important and we love you. So I'd like for the students to stand first. All the students who are going back to school tomorrow, stand up. And if you just went back maybe a few weeks ago, I still want you to stand. So all the students, stand up. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Dallas, all of you. Good looking students. Now, I want, and the students also, keep standing, Dallas. No, 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 just stand up, Dallas. Everyone's standing. Also, all of you that are college. No, this is not college students. You need to rise up. So some of you are like 35 and non-traditional. Stand up. We want to pray for you too. There we go. All right. Yes, yes. Now, teachers, if you are a teacher, we want you to stand up. Teachers, stand up. Come on. Yes. Praise God for teachers. All right. Now, we're gonna pray over everyone, and then teachers, sorry students, you get cafeteria lunch. You teachers, we have gift cards to Starbucks at the information counter out there in the lobby. So don't be like, "Oh, this humble." Go get your Starbucks gift card. We want to bless you, okay? So if we all could right now as a corporate prayer, all of us join together as we pray over the teachers and students today, all right? Let's do it. Lord, we thank you, God, that each one of these individuals, as they stand before us, God, they are blessed from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. God, everywhere they stomp, Lord, every step they take, as you give an instruction to Joshua, Lord, we do it this morning, God, that it is theirs. Lord, the land before them is theirs. As they go into the schoolroom, Lord, as they go into the hallways, God, everywhere they go, they're bringing you with them. God, I thank you, Lord, that they are influencers. Lord, they are impactful for this world. Lord, that they are important. So, God, I thank you right now, Lord, wisdom being bestowed upon them to make good choices, a preparation, Lord, for their future. So, God, I thank you for this. Lord, we thank you for our teachers. Lord, you are strengthening them from the core. God, I thank you right now, Lord. Their inner being and every gift and ability you have given them is going to shine through this year. Lord, we thank you for good students, Lord, students that want to thrive and learn. God, I thank you, Lord, for the right technique to be able to teach, Lord, each and every student. God, I thank you, Lord, for patience. Lord, I thank you for love, Lord. That love will shine through to each student. So, Lord, we thank you for these teachers, Lord, these students that stand before us. Lord, we give you honor. We give you praise. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Give it up for the teachers. So if you're new, we're so blessed to have you. If you're tuning in from online here, thank you guys for watching from home. And we're just excited, man. We're so excited about what God's doing here at Trailhead. We're wrapping up today a series titled All In. And this, the purpose of this series is for us to be all in so we can see the kingdom grow, that we can be a participant of what God's doing in our own community. So we have these wonderful cards, Katie, the cards. The ushers should be passing these out right now. Okay, so ushers, pass out these cards. Now, some of you don't look at these cards as a chore, as a task. I want you to look at these cards, and I want you to place them in your hands, and then we're going to prayerfully consider everything that's on here. So I want you just to hold tight on these cards. We'll get to those in just a little bit. So don't just toss them to the side. Don't throw them down. I want you to hold on to them. If anything, put them right beside you, but do not let them out of your sight. They are the gold, gold, gold. Norm, can I have one of those? Please? Thank you, sir. So as they're handing those out, I want to say just a few things here. For you that may be a new Christian in the house, or maybe you're contemplating that decision upon your life. You know, I had one time someone tell me, they said, you know, being a Christian, you guys got a lot of rules. We don't have a lot of rules. We have a lot of instruction from God that he's here to help us. God's wanting to encourage us, and he knows the right ways. He knows what to do. And some of you may go, man, this is too tough. I don't like the idea of it all. And well, I'm here to tell you, being a Christian is one of the best things you can do on the planet because you're able to see through what the enemy's doing. You're able to have a better understanding of that perspective that God has where you go, yeah, that's the enemy. We need to be wise to this. See, a lot of times the enemy wants to come in right when you become a Christian, or even right now for some of you that are a Christian, you have this notion that sin just plagues your thought life and it's just heavy on you. Guys, and you think for some reason it's up to you to get rid of the sin in order for Jesus to actually care about you. Guys, Paul writes about Jesus being our advocate. John writes about Jesus being our advocate. In the Greek, the word advocate can't even describe in the English language the word advocate. We have no concept of it all. There's such a deeper meaning. Matter of fact, if you go through the Word of God and you start deciphering through different translations, there's a different word for advocate every single time. Why? Because it's deeper than what you can even imagine. We have a Savior who is our advocate. He loves us. He doesn't want to be with you after the sin. He wants to be with you during the sin. He wants to be with you and he wants to walk you out of it. He wants to bring you to a new creation. He understands who you are. He knows everything about you. God wants to help you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to kick you when you're down. He wants to bring you up higher and higher and higher. From glory to glory to glory. So some of you in this room, stop this nonsense of thinking that you'll come to God, well, when you get over your sin. Good luck. It's not going to happen. Not by my might, his strength. There's no way you can do it. It's going to be through God and God alone. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, just to give you a little bit of a glimpse of importance here, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is telling us about the Lord's Prayer, and it says this one little statement, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. In order for that kingdom come, my kingdom must go. My kingdom must go, thy kingdom will come. See, for some, too often we have this kingdom. Now, this is important for this morning's message because you need to realize that being in God's kingdom isn't part-time. It's all the time. It's every day, every word, every step taken. It is all the time. His kingdom, not our kingdom. It's not our little mini kingdoms associated with his big kingdom. It's his kingdom. That's it. When you're in his courts, you're in his kingdom. How often do you find yourself in his courts? Should be 24/7. Should be 24/7. You should be in his word. You should be praying. You should be devoting every ounce of your life to him. That's where true success comes from. He comes through and he makes a way. He wants to see you prosperous, but it only works through his way, not your way. It's super important. Some people think that churches have an agenda, and maybe some churches do, but I assure you, Trailhead has no agenda. Our only purpose is to uphold his truth and to get people set free from lies from the enemy. That's what we want to do. We want to see you grow here. You can grow here. I'm going to put parentheses around can, right, Larry? We discussed this past week. You can grow here. It's important, right, Shane? It's important. But it takes you and him. You can grow here. It'd be a lie if I told you you will grow here. But you can grow here. This is where, if you decide in this moment to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior, my kingdom go, his kingdom come, then that's when everything changes. Every step you take, every word you speak, it changes. Your whole countenance, your posture, who you are, what you do, it changes. It transforms you. That's what God wants. So here at this church at Trailhead, our purest agenda is for that alone. It's for you to have a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life and to make him Lord over your life so that you can be a follower of Christ and be successful at it. That's it. So when I talk about you being all in, some people think, oh, this is some weird agenda. My friend Justin this morning, I'll cry because I'm so excited about my friend Justin. He's a pastor in Ohio. Some of you know him, Pastor Justin Wiggin. He's been here before. He's my best friend in the pastoral role of life, and he and I are just, we're each other's buddies. And so this morning, they open up their fifth campus in Ohio. He sent me a video. He's showing me this video. They're at this AMC theater, and he's showing this video of him walking around in the room. And you know, I was encouraging him. He called me. We talked. It was so fun. And I was like, man, I'm just so thrilled of what you're doing. And it took people who are all in. That's what it takes to see the kingdom grow. Today, there's going to be lives saved in Ohio. You know how wonderful that is? That's so wonderful. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is a beautiful scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I'm told to encourage you this morning. I'm told to sit here and encourage you. That gets a better person involved, that's what they said. And the encouragement. And then it's really bad of me to sit here and make somebody feel bad. Stephen, you should sing harder. I remember on a soccer field one time, I heard a kid. I was on the sideline. My kids were playing. I'm past that age. So I was watching my kids. And this kid, he kind of flubbed up. And I heard another kid yelled at his name, Scott, do better. I was like, wow, it's so harsh. Like, wow, do better. Pretty sure he was trying his hardest. I don't know. I mean, you know, all he really cares about at the end of the game is snacks, right? That's all a kid really cares about. Give me my goldfish. That's what matters. It's funny to me how we can approach this idea of being all in. There's like this way that I've got to juggle with your emotions to make you feel better about yourself, so that I can get you to sign a card at the end of it. How about we just be open and honest and transparent this morning? Is that okay with all of you? Our church has big vision, big vision. We want to do the same thing that my friend Justin's doing in Ohio. We know that he says this. He goes, where there's a Dollar General, a church can thrive. I said, man, I love that. Aren't Dollar Generals in some of the most obscure locations? You'll be out in the middle of the country and boom, DG. I'm like, am I crazy? You know, I love it. We too want to plant churches. We want to plant churches and we want to put pastors in those churches. We want to make a covenant with all these churches, and then that church, we're going to set a pastor in that role. And it's such a beautiful picture that we want to do. And it's going to take all of us right now. You know, there's only two good days to plant an oak tree. 20 years ago and today. You know, when you see an oak tree, it's like the symbol of strength. It's a symbolism of, wow, how beautiful that oak tree is. And especially when you see one at that full capacity, you're like, wow, it's beautiful, right? Guys, it's important that today we plant some oak trees. I want us to plant ourselves in this church so that we can begin to plant oak trees in other communities around us. You know, it's going to be some obscure locations. You're going to be like, where are we planting churches now? And you're going to like these odd towns in North Carolina that you haven't heard of before. I want to set us out. It tells us that we should go. I want to go with what God's placed in this house. But we've got to prune ourselves a little bit. We need to assure ourselves that we're able to do it. You know, what God's doing in you, a good work. It's not complete. Oh, but He'll make it good. He's going to come alongside of us, and it's going to be excellent. You guys know that when I prayed the prayer earlier this morning, you are more than conquerors. I mean, some of you walked in here defeated. Some of you don't even understand faith. You're walking around as if, sounds a little hokish-pokish to me. I'm going to tell you, it's not hokish-pokish. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is real and evident today. When you apply it in your life, trust me, you'll know it. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a knowing. We will, at this church, be more than conquerors. We are victorious over these objects the enemy wants to throw at us. We will scream louder when they tell us to be more quiet. We will do what God's called us to do, and we will do it with fervency. We'll do it with excellence. We are a church that's all in. I don't want to stroke your egos. I don't want to sit here and try to make you feel better and pat you on the back and be like, oh, you guys are so wonderful. I mean, you are. You really are. I'm truthfully be told you are. But I want you to volunteer. I know what God's placed on us. If you think this building is great and we accomplish that, that's one season, it's gone. It's an oak tree in the forest of the vision of life that God's given us. This was impossible. People told us all the time, it's impossible. Naysayers come through all the time. You know this is crazy. And you're like, yeah, well, okay. God can do it. It's going to take each one of us to do it. Every one of us to grow. You know, there's people that are volunteering right now. They're watching your children. You got ushers in seats that are ready. You got security guards eyeing you weirdos in the room. He's watching. She's watching. It's watching. Who knows? But people are volunteering so you can grow. Wow. Think about how valuable they are, but they're placing value on you. Servanthood at its best. They valued your life as important. Important enough to sit and be with a bunch of children right now. And I love kids. Kids are awesome. Kids are some of the best people on the planet. I have a little letter right here in the back. I've kept in here for almost a year, I think. It's a little letter from a little girl in our church. Here it is. To Pastor Josh from Olivia Vincent. It's me. She even got my little hair crook thing. It says, God loves us all, yay. And yes, I know my hair is awesome. That's what it says. I love her honesty. Children are honest. I love it. A child means everything to Jesus. Jesus tells us that. No small task in this house. No small task in the kingdom of God. Hey, give me a toothbrush. I'll be the one that cleans the streets of gold in heaven. Welcoming in every new soul, the victory. Sitting there. I want it to be as shiny can be. Don't you guys want it to be shiny when you come into heaven? I'll tell you what, when I walk into heaven, I'm going to learn how to moonwalk before I die. What if I told you I've been practicing? Don't worry. I will not humble myself before you at this moment. But when I walk into heaven, boy, I want the street of gold to be so gold, golder than gold can possibly be. It's the same approach I want right now in this house. When people walk through this door, I want you to be that smile that they need. I told the ushers a few weeks ago, be yourself. These ushers are fun. Have you ever talked to Norm? He's fun. Steven Strout? Fun. These guys are fun. When you see their face, I told them, I haven't told them this yet. We have a meeting coming up. But don't be so stoic. Like British royalty guards or something. Like, loosen up. Make someone feel welcome. Welcomed enough that they know they can grow here. Not to feel ashamed. Not to feel like I've got to walk in, you know, like with this, I don't know. Like, let that go. This is a house of worship. This is a house of peace. This is a house of joy. This is a house of strength, stability. This is a house of confidence. This is a place where you know who your Lord is. That he goes before you. He goes with you. He comes after you. He's with you. It's important. So, so important. You know, God created for you a specific purpose. You need to acknowledge that. It's hard for some of you. You may think, nah, not me, not so much. No, you. All about you right now. There's a purpose that you have, such a beautiful purpose. You know, we have some tools that we can help you discover on how your design helps reveal a path to fulfilling that purpose that God created for you. So we have a slide. I pray that we have that slide. I didn't double check. Tim, please tell me you have a slide. It's a slide of a QR code. And the QR code will take you to two different types of tests. No one's giving me the thumbs up on this. It is behind me. It's like magic. There's a DISC test. And the DISC test, some of you are like, I've already taken this test, or I've taken a similarity. Some of you are gophers in the room, beavers, lions. Some of you are a 10. Some of you are a 1. Some of you are brilliant. Some of you, not so much. Some of you are, hey, I fall in the middle category myself. Some of you are super creative, and some of you are love numbers. Who knows what these tests really prove, but if anything, this one's all about your personality. Maybe you've never taken one, and we want to offer that to you to be able to take it. So this is a landing page. So if you use your phone right now, the iPhones, I don't know about the Androids, but the iPhone, you can take your camera and hold it up there, and it'll take you to that. Or you can just obviously write down trailhead.church, my next step. These two tests will be great. The first one, as I'm explaining, the DISC test, is going to help you understand your personality, how you handle things, how you look at stuff. It's all the good things, and it kind of breaks it down. It really is an eye-opening experience. My wife and I, we took one years ago, and it helped our marriage. Our marriage was so bad. I'm kidding, anyway. But it was in those moments that we learned, oh, there's something for us to grow. God wants you to grow. He wants to come alongside you, walk with you. And that's what's wonderful about this type of test. My wife, you know, every Saturday before I'd go preach on Sunday morning, she'd ask me in bed, she'd say, what are you preaching about tomorrow? And this is like at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I'd be like, I'm going to talk about temptation, how to fight it. And then she would start telling me all these scriptures. And then she'd start telling me everything about temptation and how to fight it. And I was sitting there thinking, what in the world? Then I started thinking about my message and second-guessing it, thinking, my message isn't good enough. I would find myself wanting to go downstairs and rewrite things and whatever the case may be. It overwhelmed me. Finally, sitting in bed, and she'd say, what are you talking about? I'd say, Jesus. I was so vague, she couldn't really tell me anything that I didn't already know. So now I just stayed quiet. I didn't want to hear it. And finally, we took this one test where we realized that she's, and the word was beautiful, a finder. She's a finder. She finds everything. She finds it. And she wants to tell me how I don't find things in the refrigerator. But she's a finder. So then I realized, you and I can't have this conversation on Saturday night. We can have this conversation on Tuesday. Tuesday works great. But not on Saturday nights. I thought she was against me. I thought she was telling me I was a bad pastor and that my sermons weren't enough. And I was getting all defensive and personal. And I realized that's not the case. My wife loves me. She's my biggest fan. And so I love it. So these things help, the disc test. Now the second test is a spiritual test. Now this spiritual gifts assessment, there are no wrong answers. don't be like, like as if it's the test before you get into heaven. There is no test before you get into heaven either, by the way. But it's like this idea of like, I've got to have it all right. No, answer open, honest, it's good. And in that moment, you'll realize some things. You'll see some stuff, and it's great, and it's a good thing to go through. So I encourage you to do that. All right, there's three things I want to talk about. First thing, he made you. He made you. Personally, he made you. So in Jeremiah 1:5, it comes alongside of this and really explains it very well. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So now, he may have not appointed you to the prophet of the nations, but what's wonderful is that he establishes in this particular scripture that he formed you in the womb. He knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. There's something about you. It's particular. It's wonderful. We get the confirmation of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and throughout Paul's writings to all the different churches about the body and how we work and each individual is important. You would notice about the wonderful side of it all of there is a purpose. There is something particular and peculiar about you. And that's a good thing. Relish in that. Know that you can't do everything. Man, you would think I could do it all. That's what my brain thinks. I'll do it. I'll lift it up. I helped Terrence lift up something this past week. Well, that was a nightmare. Me and Terrence, I looked at his muscles, looked at mine, thought we can do this. I realized I can't do this. You guys know I left him. I had to go. I had a lunch appointment. And I said, Terrence, I got to leave you, and I don't even know how this is possible. I came back to the church to find that the thing that he and I were lifting was gone. He lifted it all by himself. You need to know when to say no. You need to know when to say yes. You need to know who you are, and God knows that. Spend time with him and let him reveal those things to you. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Number two, he gifts you. He gifts you spiritual gifts. That uniqueness about you, there's something there. He gifts you spiritual gifts. John 14, 12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. He's our advocate. Boy, I tell you, that word is meaningful. There's homework this week. I want you to look up the word advocate. I want you to decipher it. Look up all the different scriptures the advocate's in and just saturate. Ring out those scriptures and get everything you can out of those scriptures where Jesus is your advocate. So very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. This is where I'm not going to stroke your ego and I'm not going to make you feel good. I'm just going to ask that poignant question to you. Are you doing the works of God? And then I'm going to ask you one more question, adding a word to it. Are you doing the works of God daily? My wife and I were doing this little fitness thing. I'm not going to tell you about it because then you feel like obligated to do it. I feel like junk right now. I've eaten some things this morning, but I've already drank a half a gallon of water, and I'm maybe crossed like this for a reason. There's this one phase that we're going to encounter here shortly, and it's a phase that I'm dreading. And it's a mental tough phase that every day for 30 days, I got to meet somebody new. I got to shake their hand, tell them my name, ask them their name, and get to know them. Every day for 30 days. I mean, some of you guys, you don't meet somebody new every day. I don't meet somebody new every day. I see Christian, Katie, Jeremy, and Dave, and sometimes Morgan, and my wife and kids, and that's enough. Just being real. The idea that I would have to go out of my, I have to do this before midnight. I have 24 hours. The idea of that if at 11 o'clock I haven't met somebody, that I have to go meet someone is a nightmare. That means I'm going to one place and one place alone, Walmart. And I'm walking up to someone at 11 o'clock. Hi, my name's Josh, and I would like to get to know you. Every day we should be doing this. Every day we should be sharing the gospel. Every day the joy that lives inside of you, you got to share that with somebody else. I will be that rude, awful pastor that when that phase comes and I got 30 days, I'm going to put it all on you to do it with me. It's going to be the month of December. Just want to let everybody know that's when it's happening. If you want to join me in November, it's a cold shower for 30 days every morning for 5 minutes. That's a nightmare, too. I won't ask you to join me on that one. That'd be rude. Here we go. He gifts you. He gifts you with spiritual gifts. Every day I'm asking that question, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you sharing it? Do you know why? Because of the second part. And they will do even greater things than these. What an expectation. Some of you don't know if God can do it because, well, you haven't done it. You question it because you're not doing it. When you present yourself as a holy living sacrifice to Him to say, here I am, use me daily, and you're doing the work of God, then you're going to see the even greater things than these. You'll be able to recognize it. You'll be able to grow in it. It's a beautiful picture. Number three, He places you, or better said, He gives you opportunities. He places you in these moments. He's looking for the ones that are saying, here I am, send me. He's looking for those opportunities. He's saying, I want to help you. Man, I want to show you some things. He opens up the doors, man, and when He does, it's a floodgate. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Especially, not just alone, everyone, but especially to those. So guess what? On these opportunities that we come together, this is the especially moment. We're here to help one another. That we have this opportunity that's been given to us to do good to all people, to serve them. Not self-serve, to serve them. Love this picture. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Hey, scriptures are pretty plain and simple. Romans chapter 8, 9, and 10. It's pretty self-explanatory. When you've discovered Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, you are placed in His kingdom. That kingdom go, His kingdom comes. And when that takes place, a transformational power comes over you. where you realize what true purpose is all about. And so when he says, who have been called according to his purpose, that's you. That's you. Everyone in this room, it's you. The Holy Spirit is God's primary gift. God's Spirit works in us to produce fruit and steward the gifts he gives us. When you have Jesus Christ living inside of you and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you begin to produce fruit. You'll be known by your fruit. If you're rotten, you stink. Bad things are ahead. Fruit. Begin to produce good fruit. Displaying his fruit. Ooh. Now, this isn't something that you do out of pride. Pride before the fall. We know these scriptures. If you read Proverbs enough, you'll know all about pride. It's not like that. Your fruit is so evident because of the people around you. The people around you, they're able to eat from that fruit. And being in your presence, they realize, man, I want to be in his presence more or her presence more. They challenge me. They sharpen me. That's being your fruit on display. I mean, Matthew chapter 6 is a great chapter. I just read it this morning, so it's pretty fresh, but I would encourage you to read that as well, that this is not something you walk around and say, look at me, I'm praying, everybody. Look at me, I'm fasting, everybody. No. Your time with him, and it's in the secret place and in those quiet times, man, oh man, you're going to see people around you. They're going to know it greater than you on the street saying, look at me, I'm praising God. You could do it in Times Square in New York, thousands and thousands of people, and it won't be as effective as it would be if you were in your secret, quiet place. His gifts result in greater works through us to empower others. What you're doing right now, what these volunteers are doing for us right now, is so that we can walk out of here being fruitful and empowered. That's why it's important you come in here ready. You are valued. And you should be so excited to be here at church. You should be so excited to wake up in the morning and get here. You should be so excited to say, here is my seat. During COVID, I kept texting the Cobles their seat. Now, we're not a church where you place things on seats and you start looking at someone in awe. David would never, well, Lisa wouldn't let him, but David would never look at you and just stand there and be like, excuse me, you're in my seat. That's not what David's all about. But that's David's seat. I like David behind me. I've always liked David behind me. But I would text him the chair and it'd be empty. Can't wait to see you, David. Because it means something to be here. It means something because you've got value on you. Value to the kingdom of God. Value to change people's lives through the power of God. You've been given that right. Own it. Take it. Do it. You know, I want to thank the volunteers that are already volunteering. I do. I want to thank you. You guys that are in this room, you are tremendous. You guys are beyond a blessing to this house and to future houses to come. I look forward, Shane being our head parking lot guy, I look forward to sending him down to insert town with Dollar General store. To send Shane down there to train new parking lot attendants. To show them the culture that we have here at this church. I look forward to sending the Strouts down to show the ushers how to be ushers. The pure essence of what it means to be an usher at Trailhead Church. I look forward to this. It's a good thing. I'm excited about the community that we're building. And we as volunteers are doing it. We're doing an excellent job and we're building that community. You know, here at Trailhead, our team leaders, we want to equip you. We don't want to sit you on some path where you're like, I hope I know what I'm doing. Don't worry. You're not going to walk into a classroom. If you've never volunteered before, you're not going to walk into a classroom and be like, it's like this idea of like, good luck, Charlie. and then stick you in a classroom and there you go. No, we come alongside of you, we train you, we show you some things, we help you with the process. And even if there's a slight mishap of something that took place that was out of our control and you had no idea, like for instance, a military army tank shows up on the parking lot and Shane's got to park that. That's out of our control, and well, we'll make do. It won't be a wall, it will be a pivot moment. We will pivot, and we will find what God wants us to do, and we'll do it effectively. And so that's what's wonderful, how God comes in and he strengthens and empowers and shows us. But you volunteers are doing a great job at what you're doing. We also want you to know that we respect your time. We understand your time, and we respect that. There is there's something that irks me most is when a volunteer shows up to do something and then they're just standing there because I just feel bad. Oh, let's do something. So anytime we've ever done work days or demo days, you'll see me, I'm the foreman. I'm running around making sure everyone's got the right equipment, right tool, right instruction, the right plan, the right vision so that it gets accomplished and you're not just standing there like this. Like, no, we do respect your time. We're thankful of your time. I want to show you guys something this morning that is pretty stinking awesome. You know, I want to show the volunteers what they're doing, and I want to show you future volunteers of what it's like to volunteer. We have a beautiful woman in our church named Mariah, and we've asked her to share her testimony with us this morning. And, you know, I've seen a lot of testimony videos. This one's a true tearjerker. And we are a horrible church to you right now because there is no tissues anywhere in sight. So get ready with your sleeves and be prepared because this is really powerful. Tim.
My name is Mariah Denny, 27. I'm married to Lance Denny. We have a little boy named Axton. He is 3. Lance and I had found a church of our own when we got married. You know, we had prayed for a long time. We struggled with infertility, with trying to get pregnant with Axton. We suffered 3 miscarriages. And I knew there was something out there more. And I was like, okay, God, we're doing everything we can. We're praying, we're tithing, you know, what's missing? And then we finally got pregnant with Axton. And we were told, expect a miscarry. And I was like, not again. We're not gonna go through this again. 2 weeks before I went into preterm labor, my grandma passed away very unexpectedly, and that broke me. It broke me bad. And then 2 weeks later, I went into preterm labor. I was technically 34 weeks, 6 days when I went into labor. We had to do an emergency C-section, and Axton was born not breathing. He was technically born coded. So I remember the hospital. It was just like one big rush, and I remember praying, God, please don't take this baby from me. Lance was sick. He had salmonella at the time, and I was like, someone please get this man out of this room. Just, I can't take any more distress going on. I was losing a lot of blood. That's all I remember was the chaos around me and just praying, God, don't take this person from me too. And next thing you know, he's being rushed off to the NICU. They're doing CPR on him. And I just instantly stuck my hand up and I was like, stop, I need to pray. I need to hold him. And they pushed my arm away and said, no, we don't have that kind of time. And I was like, God, why? And so it was in that moment, I was like, has he turned his back on me? So Axton began to spend 5 weeks in the NICU, learning how to suck, swallow, breathe, feeding tubes, ventilators. So then it was like I never got to, you know, process my grandma dying. She was my best friend. I never got to process that. But then here I am 2 weeks later processing my child, basically coding at birth, and my husband being extremely sick, and then everything I went through at birth, but feeling so alone. And that threw me into the worst depression. And then all that kind of bottled up, and I was like, okay, if this is how it's gonna be, then God, you left me. I don't want anything to do with you. And that's just where it was for me. I needed love. I needed to be supported by those of God. Well, to fast forward to what really brought me to God was the Sunday before I started Trailhead. That was the Sunday I decided that was it. I was going to end it all. And not to go into too many details, but that was the Sunday that God saved my life. He said, "No, Mariah, it's time for you to take your life back. It's time for you to stand up, and it's time for you to be my child. You are a daughter of the King, and you're going to stand up for your life. You're going to go out, and you're going to reach somebody. And your testimony is going to be what makes you you. And you're going to be my daughter." And it just so happened that Wednesday, my sister invited me, and she said, "You know, Talon's getting dedicated. I'd really love for you to be there. I know you haven't been in church in a while. I know you haven't been yourself lately. Can you please come?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess." That was the Sunday that Pastor Josh started the Faith series. And man, did I need that. He said, "You can't have faith and you can't have fear at the same time. You got to choose which one's going to live in your heart. And it can't be fear." And that's one thing I remember from that message that hit me so hard, because it hit me in my gut. And I was like, I've been living in fear for so long that if I would have just kept that little bit of faith, I would have never, never done the thing that I did. But I know that God designed a plan for my life, because the fear that I had instilled me to come to Trailhead. And if I wouldn't have found Trailhead, I wouldn't be here. So because of everything I went through, I found Trailhead. And I can't thank God enough for that. But you know, in John 10:10, it says, "The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come to give life, and I come to give life abundantly." And thank God that he did. Because I have never been so happy, so joyful, and so full of life in the past 3 years, that I could literally, and you probably see me on Sundays doing it, running around, "Good morning, good morning." Like, it's a feeling that I know that I can't replace what happened in those years, but I can move forward, and I can truly say that God comes to give life, because he gave me mine back on the day that my husband should have found me dead. I thank God for, one, his forgiveness, and two, the fact that he does give abundant life. Because without him, I'd be in hell. Because that second Sunday on the Faith series, when I came back, that was the day I gave my life back to God and said, "It's yours. Take it." So on a Sunday, I get to welcome all the new faces, all the regular faces, the kids. I get to show everybody around, let them know, you know, if this is where you want to get coffee, where restrooms are, where sanctuary is, you know, just greet everybody, make them feel welcome, make them feel loved. Things that people may not see. That's what I'm here for. That's what our team is here for, to make people feel loved and let them know what our vision is here. We love coming to Trailhead. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to wake up 5:45 every Sunday morning to make sure I am here at 9:15 for our greeting meeting. And I went and tried coming here. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, it gave me my life back, being able to see the love of God here, hearing the love of God, surrounding myself, my family with the love of God. You don't find that everywhere. You don't find a place that is going to give you your life back. You don't find a place that, you know, your children are gonna grow up in that surround you with love, that your child runs out of children's church and is so excited to give you a picture of Samuel that he colored, and that, you know, your child says, "Mama, I learned about heaven today," and that's where Mama is. You don't find that everywhere. And if I have to drive an hour one way, I'm going to drive an hour one way, because from the mountains to the sea, my son's going to be able to share that vision. I can share that vision. My husband's going to share that vision.
Tell you what, it's powerful. It's a powerful testimony. You know, she and her husband, they drive over an hour to come to church here on Sunday morning. Think about the importance that she's placed for her family to be sown into a church and to say, hey, I'm all in and I want to see other lives change like God's changed my life. It wasn't just a half-committed moment. It was a fully committed moment. It's saying, hey, I want to make Jesus Christ Lord over my life and I want to bear fruit and I want to see my family do the exact same thing. I would encourage you this morning, take this card back out right now. It says an all-in volunteer application. There's a couple boxes here. It says, I am all in and I'm already serving. Well, praise God, we celebrate you this morning. It says, I'm all in and I want to serve in. And there's multiple different little boxes here. And you can choose one of these. I would encourage you to do it. Some of you may say, my box isn't on there. Hey, serve in one of these spots right here. And those things that your heart's desire may be placed on, someday that box will pop up. But right now, these are some boxes that we have. We want to see this church functioning and firing on all cylinders. We want to see people on fire for God, and we know what needs to take place right here. And what needs to take place is that every area of the greeting team is fulfilled. That I want more greeters. Some of you say, well, there's enough greeters. There's never enough greeters. I want more greeters. I want people to walk away at work the next day, and I want them to say, I don't know. I went to a church yesterday. I would love this argument of someone saying this, actually. I went to a church today. I felt too welcomed. Like, what a crazy moment, right? Man, I got told hi too many times. Like, that would be wonderful. Something that pulls you away. So unfortunately, many people that walk in on a Sunday have a preconceived notion. They have these goggles on. Or if someone doesn't say hi to me enough, it's sad. It's sad. The next box you see is, I'm all in, but I need more information about serving first. And that's wonderful. We're excited that you want to do that as well. So we're going to have a team of people reach out to you. So it's important you fill out this. Fill out this side first. Your name, make it legible so we don't call you Josie and your name's Joseph. Phone number so that we don't call Josie and we call Joseph. And then your email address as well. We know that some people don't like to answer their phones, so we want to get in contact with you. We will not harass you. We're not going to call you night and day. No, we do not share this information. So we have a small team that will be gathered together. They'll pray over each one of these and they'll begin to call and put you in that place for you to serve. Now, I will promise you this. The minute you put your name on here, the minute you check one of these boxes, the enemy is going to come a knocking. Some way, shape, or form, he's going to try to stop you before you ever get started. Don't allow it to happen. Don't allow it to happen. It's so important. Begin to fill them out right now. I want everybody to fill them out. We're going to take an action step. So begin to fill them out. I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now there's pens all around you. For you that are on the front row, there's pens behind you. There are pens all around you. You can also take those pens, by the way. It's not stealing. We'd love for you, if you go to a restaurant, leave it with the waitress, the waiter. They would love to have an extra pen or two. Share those pens with people. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Oh, I love verse 2. Let me read verse 1 more time. Some of you, you're writing and you need to half pay attention. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement, being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, this is those moments you have with him, if you have any of these things, if any common sharing in the Spirit, then any tenderness and compassion, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's what we're doing here this morning. Now, some of you, you've had enough time to fill that out. You still have some more time here. The band's going to sing a song. I didn't tell them this. Be prepared. Sing a song. Now, in the new church, if you go to an old church, you'll see that there's more of what you would call an altar versus a stage. We haven't really established an altar. This is an altar, though. Someday we may put down some type of an ornate carpet of some sort so you can kneel and do those things, but right now you got the hardwood floor. But look at this less as a stage and more of an altar. I want you to look at this as a place where you come to present your sacrifices, to present yourself to him and him alone. See this map we've thrown up here. This is your state. Own it. I got corrected a few weeks ago by Pastor Dave, our associate pastor. He said, Josh, you got to stop saying from the pulpit, you North Carolinians. He said, that's rude. He said, Josh, you and I, we are North Carolinians. He says, you're no longer a West Virginian. Country mama. I said to him, I said, I don't know. I still feel like I'm a West Virginian. Mark, you're no longer a Californian, Wisconsinian. You are a North Carolinian. Mary and Dan, you no longer belong to Washington. You belong to this state. This is the state that you have established to be home. You pushed the push pin in and you said, this is home. Now let's begin to change home for the kingdom. Listen, I'm all about praying for Afghanistan, and Afghanistan needs our prayers right now more than anything. I'm all about praying for Haiti. Haiti, I've been to Haiti. I've been served breakfast, lunch, and dinner by a woman who had lost her children in the earthquake previous to this one. And it's a very humbling experience to be served when all you want to do is serve them. Sometimes we can get our focus on the outward so much so that we're not even doing anything in this. Let's start here right now. We're planting an oak tree in this moment. I'm all about planting future oak trees, but let's be honest with ourselves, honest with God, and honest with others that let's start here from this very moment. Continue to pray for these outward things that are taking place 100%. And when you're given an opportunity to do something, do them. But don't negate the part of where you live, and this is important. I rode my bike here this morning, and as I rode my bike here this morning, I will say I was ashamed of myself. I rode, and I passed by someone asleep underneath a blanket on the sidewalk in downtown Burlington. Now, I didn't stop. It was early. It was like 6-something in the morning. I didn't want to wake them up, but I thought, I'm going to do something next time. I don't know what it is. I'm going to do something next time. Guys, there are people all around us hurting. Don't be blind to this. There are people everywhere that need to hear this message, the message of truth. We need to be a little bit more poignant in our ask to come to church. This empty pocket over here is scary for me. There's a lot of empty seats in this place, and this is a good place to be. So as the band sings, I want us to go Old Testament, and I want us to take our cards as a representation of our sacrifice to serve others. And I'd like for us to place them on the altar. You can stand up where you are and begin to just place them in the altar and then make your way back to the seat. And then we'll close the service. But I want us to do it with sacrifice, with love, and with honor to what God's given you, that gift. Begin to believe in things bigger than you that are so big that they're destined to fail without divine intervention. So let's do it. Let's come to the altar. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today's your morning. For you that are prayer workers, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and go back to the prayer room. Be prepared. You know, this is a decision that needs to be made this morning. And it has some weight to it. But it's a life-changing weight. My encouragement for you this morning is to make that decision that Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior. For some of us in this room, we're believing a big mission statement here at this church. That mission statement is to reach people from the mountains to the sea. I want us to be successful in that process. And I want everyone to know that if you were invited here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is, that person next to you that invited you, well, they love you. And they want to see your life changed. They want to see you to come to know who Jesus Christ is in your life. So in making that decision this morning, I'm going to pray out this service, and as we pray and dismiss, the door to my left, your right behind you, that's where I'd like for you to go. We got some wonderful people back there who like to pray with you. They like to help you, equip you, and give you everything you need so that you can be successful. Because the enemy wants to come in. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's come to give you life and life in abundance. And he's got all the right things for you. He'll walk you through this process. So let's make that happen this morning. If you're making that decision, I want you to go back in that room, okay? Make it happen. For all of you that filled these out this morning, I'm so thankful that you're discovering your unique design and saying, I'm all in. I'm ready to get involved, to see this house grow so that we can be more successful and reach more people from the mountains to the sea. We are a church that's here to help people find a better way. It's really important that we are all in together on this. I'm thankful for this. Guys, at the end of church today, man, love on somebody you've never met. Get outside your box, shake their hand, fist bump, wave, do whatever, but talk to them. Meet somebody new. It's very important that you do this. The enemy's trying to take them, and you got to show them that love. You have no idea what's happening in someone's life until you begin to ask them, what's going on? Let's talk. Love on them. Pray with them. Do that, okay? All right. I'm going to pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning. God, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church that we've made a decision to be all in. Lord, that we are not a church tossed to and fro, but Lord, that we have a vision set before us, and Lord, we're going to run with it. God, I thank you, Lord, more than ever before. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the path that you have placed before us. God, the future of Trailhead Church, that we're going to reach the lost, reach the weary, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, as we begin the next phase of vision within our church, the next phase of mission in our church. God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, that we will walk upright with confidence of knowing what you've placed before us. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are showing us the way. God, that only by your might, not our strength, but by your might alone will this be accomplished. God, I thank you, Lord, that you will show us the next location for Trailhead Church to be planted. God, I thank you, Lord, that the right individuals will rise up to the occasion, Lord, and they will sow into the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're taking away all selfish ambition. Lord, any pride that lingers, God, we thank you, Lord, that you are taking that away. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We magnify your name. I thank you. Bless us as we go out of here today. And Lord, throughout the week, guard our hearts. We thank you. We honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys. Have a good Sunday. We'll see you guys next week. It's going to be a good Sunday next week. Get ready.